Hello everyone, I'm Joanna, for those of you that don't know me. I'm part of Coffee. So Coffee is an artist publishing platform, and it's made up of me and Charlotte. We started working in 2008, and we were both really interested in writing, and not just kind of writing broadly, although that was interesting, but writing kind of around art, visual art, performance, but also writing in relation to kind of objects and actions and sites. So those things are kind of always like central to our project. And we did quite a lot of research back then in 2008, which was really a long time ago. And we've since then we've gone to art company and run art company. Projects and other projects as well, just with emergencies and partnerships. But we always tend to kind of work with other people. We usually work with artists and writers, or people who see themselves as both artist and writer, and we're quite interested in that kind of whole discussion and area of can you be both at the same time, and maybe what you are writing, the format that it comes in might be text, might be other things. So often our publications have got other elements in them as well as text. They might be diagrams or images and photographs. And the publications that we do, we've got a couple here, so I'll just show you a couple, but they're in the resource space as well. Which is two of them. They're sometimes kind of, they're like the end products of the projects that we're doing, and sometimes they're kind of an extra, they kind of circle around the project. They might kind of document it. So this one is from when we were in Sheffield. We did a big kind of residency at Fight Gallery in Sheffield. And we had loads of discussions, which were all really interesting. And we had open audience, they were free to attend. And we took all the notes from those, audio recordings from those, went on the website. And then we also asked the contributors to those discussions to give us their notes in a really loose format, whatever their notes might be. So some people, because it was post-discussion, thought about what they talked about and reflected on that. Other people actually gave us like their hand-scribbled notes. Other people just gave us one image, which for them summed up what we talked about. So this kind of very much came after the whole, only 2 months that we were working at Fight Gallery. Whereas this project was the Yorkshire Culture Park project that we did. So we worked with Yorkshire Culture Park and again artists and writers. And the whole project was working towards the publication. This is the most book-like publication we've done so far. And we got the artists to kind of visit the site of the Yorkshire Culture Park, and that one was very much a site-specific one. We were really interested in exploring the whole of the Yorkshire Culture Park, its history of Breton Hall, everything about it, and asking for a really artistic response to that site. So all of these artists have responded in their own way. And again, it's a real kind of mixture of like images and text and fold out of the paper. So that's just kind of 2 examples, but there's other publications that we've done. And we're about to embark on our next one, which, as always, involves other people, other artists, as well as us. It involves other partner organisations, such as Tetley. And we're really excited about it. It's the first kind of step in putting, hopefully, something together. As a project, and there will be some sort of publication element to it at some point, but we're not quite sure when or what that will look like yet. This is Charlotte's going to tell you more about this project.
The focus of this project is on material, process and manufacture, which is obviously hugely broad and has been addressed in all different ways by different artists and writers throughout the history of everything. who want to reflect on or act within ideas of industry and work and material and physicality, etc. So our publication, this time we're able to spend a bit more time developing it, and that's really nice privilege, so it's great to be here at the Tetley. So we're going to bring together work by a range of different artists from the UK and Turkey, exploring precious material manufacture. What we're interested in looking at is how to tease out some of the tensions between how something that's very object-based and very action-based and very physical in terms of the work of manufacture the thinness of a material, how that might be brought into the published form through work that would necessarily be two-dimensional, whether that's image or text. So there's some level of exploration to it, and there's some level of, you know, it might work, it might not work. And there's also other questions of if different kinds of labour that might come into it. When we think about manufacture, we're in this place which has a certain, it evokes a particular idea of industry, but there's also different ideas of industry that we'll touch on later and how that might come into it. So whilst we're at the TETI, we're bringing together, it's really about our research and development towards publication. So we've guest selected a lot of the resource materials from the space that we're using to kind of build on our knowledge and sort of learn about the artists and learn about things that have been said and develop what we already know. And we've brought publications in as well that we think are relevant. So it's about kind of sharing that with the visitors. And like, it's about doing events such as today, where it's an opportunity for us to kind of expand our own research and share that with other people through inviting people to come and present films and doing talks and doing a series of other events as well. So we're really pleased to have Jenny from Manual Labours, which is a research project that she will talk about in and of itself, showing up the relevance of what we're looking at here. And so it's great to have artists' work presented kind of within the project that we're doing to help us look at how different artists are addressing some of these ideas and to, you know, engage with different people who are thinking about similar things. So yeah, I'll just hand over to Jenny Bridget, who will introduce her your project.
Yes. Hello. Thank you so much, Joanna and Charlotte and Coffee. And also thank you to Tetley for inviting me here today. So as Charlotte said, I'm one half again of Manual Labours. My name's Jenny Richards, and I started this project in December 2012. With my colleague Sophie Hope. At that point, we were both based in London. Sophie is a lecturer at Birkbeck University, and I was running a cooperative gallery and studios called Cubit. Now I currently live in Stockholm, but I think it's important to say I'm also from Halifax, so it's kind of nice to be able to come here today as well to kind of reflect on this project a little bit, because hopefully you'll see some of the experiences or influences of sort of growing up in a sort of post-industrial town like Halifax, as to why it sort of influenced why I'm interested in issues of labour and work. So, also I suppose it's important to note where we are, the Tetley, as Charlotte said, it sort of has a specific relationship to labour history here. And hopefully again as well this sort of, even just walking through here and sort of passing some of the sort of relics of the organisation's past, bring to life again a little bit the way in which labour has sort of transformed within this very building from being a brewery to now an art gallery. So I'll talk a little bit about Manual Labours, and then I'm just going to show a clip of a film by an artist called Harun Farooqi, or artist and filmmaker. And then I'm also going to show the full version of a film by Tildy Takala at the end. And then afterwards, I think Joe, Charlotte and I are going to have some questions and or conversation together. But it's really informal, so do you like, if there's any questions, just ask me while we're going through. So Manual Labours seeks to investigate sort of physical relationships to work today in order to build sort of diverse research material around the changing nature of work and how it affects us. This research can be from artist films, like the ones I'm going to screen today, or more theoretical papers that Sophie and I might write that really interrogate the historical transformation of labour. And it's important to say this is largely looking at the West as well. Sophie and I sort of embark on this project very much coming from our personal positions as well as sort of recognising and experiencing the different way in which we're being asked to work or different ways in which we're being expected to work within different roles. So we develop different activities in order to examine our current opinions, feelings and experiences of work, which include screenings, workshops, events, exhibitions, and they kind of mobilise a community of researchers that sort of in collaboration with us contribute to the research material around personal experiences of work today. So what we're asking within these activities and what we mean when we say sort of transformation of labour is a chance to consider how post the Second World War changes in production, the organisation of work, the expectation of our job roles has affected our own bodies and shaped the way in which we engage with the work and the world around us. So one thing that we were thinking about a lot is, for example, how we think about time now. What's the sort of significance of sort of historical time-based structures of when work would start and when work would end, and how does that sort of occur now? Is it something that we feel, do we have the same understanding of time as we used to do, where you would clock in at 9 o'clock and you would clock out at 5 o'clock? Or does time have a very much more sort of elastic feel to it in some ways, in the way in which you would work? You know, I often am sending emails at 2 a.m, and that's not a sort of unusual thing anymore. So these processes involve work that relies heavily on sort of administrative, emailing, banking, financial processes and communicative work. And they largely engage our brain or sort of our cognitive capacities. And so Sophie and I are interested in how that sort of leads to a neglect of the body in some ways. So you're very much sort of employing your brain, and how do you think about your body in those kind of situations? Do you think about your body when you're sat at your desk emailing? I certainly don't very much. So we're seeking through the project to reassert the significance of the body or the physical aspects of these forms of working, which theorists have described as so-called immaterial, I suppose meaning that rather than producing something, what is produced today are sort of intangible products. It's about communication or relationships, social kind of interactions. And many of our jobs today employ what can be described as, by the feminist theorist and writer Arlie Hochschild, as emotional labour. So she explains this kind of type of work which, when she was analysing a group of air hostesses in the 80s, how actually within their job they were very much having to employ a sort of friendly disposition, a smile, being very kind of feeling, getting across the feeling that they were very kind of reassuring. And when she was doing research with these air hostesses, she was interested in a way in which they kind of came to be very confused about what their actual feelings were. So because their job employed or put to work their emotions, they no longer really understood that if they were smiling at something, I'm not sure if I really want to smile at that. So there was this very kind of interesting shift in sort of the way in which labour was requiring much more of your sort of personality in some ways. So I'm sure many of us maybe in current roles which we're working can sort of identify maybe some of those elements of work I've sort of mentioned. And so Sophie and I seek to question how these processes and the working conditions, like flexi time, freelance, and environments like the open office or the home office, I often work, even from my bed, the bed office, affect us as workers, and whether a focus on the body, which is often disregarded, might allow us to find a different route into thinking critically about work, and whether an investigation into the physical will allow us to map this sort of complex an overlapping experience between work and life. So an email to a colleague to have a drink after work is both a sort of social date, but also like there's an idea that that relation is commodified slightly, in that I feel like maybe I would get some other work from that. So there's this sort of commodification of social relations as well. And it creates a very sort of complex relationship between what is work and what is not work. So importantly, the motivation for this project is to build a conversation about work with workers across different sectors, not just those within the art world. So I suppose my background very much, sort of, I mentioned working in a cooperative art gallery, but my background is very much, I trained as a painter, it's within the sort of visual art world and the culture sector. But what Sophie and I are interested in is actually thinking about what conversations around work and experiences of work and worker struggle is happening in other sectors as well. So using this as a catalyst to build those conversations. So I suppose the plural of the title, manual labours, refers to many different forms of work. So we're thinking around and sort of a particular focus as well on forms of work that aren't that type of work that I'm sort of suggesting, that's very kind of like exploiting your body or exploiting your yourself in certain ways. So also thinking about what is the work that we really enjoy and is really fulfilling and is critical and is political. And importantly as well, it also references, you know, the hugely manual workforce as well that's predominantly no longer in the Western world, I suppose, more so relating to sort of workers in the global south who are, you know, producing all of these things that are no longer produced here. But indeed the workforce in the UK is also very much still producing goods here, but is largely unrecognised. Sorry, that was just another slide of this kind of time is not a currency, it is not passed but spent. So E.P. Thompson, who's a local of this area as well, discusses this way in which time as well is sort of recoded to symbolise something different. So in the beginning, when we were starting this research, we set up an open office in this gallery called the Peltz Room at Birkbeck University. And we were there for a 35-hour long working week. And we used it as a chance to really start off these conversations and discuss with other workers different experiences of work, hold interviews. We got in touch with many different workers that were around the vicinity of Birkbeck, so postal workers in the nearby sort of huge sorting office, and people who were working on the British Museum redevelopment, and people who were in University College Hospital close by. Also, not only formal labour, but we were in touch with people who were doing sort of domestic work, au pair work, mothers as well. So thinking as well about, you know, also what we categorise as work as well in those ways. And so we use sort of playful insertions in the office as a way to sort of catalyse discussion. So on the left is a cabinet of medicinal things that maybe we're familiar with, which we use to sort of care for our body in order to get to work the next day. So vitamin C, I have that pretty much every morning. coffee, tea, and then on the right we collected plants. So during this time it was just coming up to the holiday time in the university. So we went around the office and we said that we'd look after people's office plants during that time. And it's quite interesting, you could have done almost like a sociological study on the plant and what the job role was in the university, because the administration staff care for their plants. They were very very lush and well looked after, where the the academic staff on the top tiers of the building, literally it's organised very hierarchically, had, you know, weeds basically. So again, sort of playfully thinking around these different sort of margins of work as well. So, you know, even questioning, so why would you have a, you know, why do you bring in a pot plant? What is that about sort of reclaiming your work environment or personalising it in some ways? And so other kind of performative investigations we carried out was a 9-mile walk to work. This is Sophie, which I really appreciate this is involved. And she lives in Walthamstow, which is 9 miles from Birkbeck. So both of us, Sophie met me while I was staying at the time in Hackney, and we walked to work, which basically took us the whole day. And so we were sort of thinking, and over this time sort of interrogating this idea of the commute, because that was something that had come up a lot when we were having these conversations. You know, most people work on their commute, particularly in London, maybe where there's like a 2-hour commute. Obviously, they never get paid for that. So we were kind of really sort of taking it to the extreme of like, you know, well, if we wanted to walk to work, then, you know, that would take us most of our day, and we'd probably only have an hour a day working in the office. So we thought, yeah, giving attention to those, like, margins of work as well. And then this is an image of a print. So at the end of every day, because obviously it was very sort of discursive within the situation in this sort of open office, we wanted to do something literally physical. So at the end of every day, we would produce a print, and that would be in conversation with whoever was with us at the time. And it would be very much about the physical act of sort of screen printing as a way to translate some of the issues that we're talking about to something visual, and whether that as well would kind of help to have a different sort of rearticulation of or clarity to kind of what we're thinking about. And these are some images. So part of the research as well with manual labours is very much sort of drawing on artistic research. So different artists, particularly involved in film and video, filmmaking, who are dealing with different issues of work. So the image on the left here that I showed earlier, the Pilby film, so that we'll show that later. This is a work by Jesse Jones on the right, which I'll talk a little bit about next. And another thing we sort of held was this public lunch hour. So the administrative staff in Birkbeck had, on a Friday, they'd arrange for everyone to eat together. So most of the days they would sit at their desk and not have a lunch hour. On Friday they would try and do this. So Sophie and I knew about this, and we said, okay, well, we'll cook lunch for you if we can all kind of eat together. And then we invited members of the public as well and used it as a chance to really discuss some questions around, you know, around the lunch hour as well. I mean, at what point had that kind of become, it's quite exceptional for people to take a lunch hour in some work. A lot of people just do it at their desk, and kind of this idea of like, okay, how can we think about reclaiming it? And so within all the different methods of exploring the physicality of contemporary work, manual labour searches to sort of capture different quality, which might draw us closer, we're hoping, to a sort of criticality or an agency within work, learning how an art historian, Lucy Lippard, suggests in her essay, Making Something from Nothing, how we might like value things differently, how we might create a different form of value, and whether thinking about sort of the way your body interacts with within work in a different way gives a sort of different quality to the work that you're doing. So this image is from a workshop that we conducted earlier this year. And one of the quotes I'll just pull from here, which is reflecting and came out of some of this research, says, I often find myself lunching over my keyboard. My right leg is wrapped around my left leg. My head is pulled forward to read the screen, and I'm forever tapping on the keyboard with umpteen mistakes because I'm using my left hand. I work mostly from home, early morning till late at night, and can't see the start or finish of the working day. Because of the long hours, it seems my body is learning new postures, which are very difficult, uncomfortable, and problematic. So this quote brings to mind a sort of contortionist performance that the worker plays out daily in front of their computer. It's a flexible worker, you could say, in the double sense of the word. So their body is flexible in developing these different postures, but they're also the flexible worker who can work at any time, at any moment, and stretches their time and body in order to accommodate work. Another contributor wrote as well about how they're unaware of their body until pain shows that they're overworking. A physical reminder via twinges or screen burn interrupts the work, and their mind is performing and jolts them into this momentary sort of reminder that they should go to the toilet or have a break. So as contributions and sort of material grew from these encounters, our original questions around work, which obviously sort of had some of our own sort of presumed assumptions from our own position, began to be morph and develop and shape through the contributors' comments. So those key questions that just give a bit of a sort of grounding for some of this research are, what can an investigation into physicality teach us about agency and collective action? What methods might we need to employ to help develop an awareness of physicality? And what new knowledge can be uncovered when we consider the body at work? And can we reposition the entwinement of our work and life to create a new sense of agency within that tension that moves beyond a subsumption of all life to work? And importantly, what this means is the research gathered and translated into different visual material or into an academic paper, so sort of posters like I showed earlier, or papers that Sophie and I will write for a conference, privileges, say, for example, discussing someone's workplace issues in a local borough council, which we've been doing over the last month, with kind of theoretical research as well. So there's this kind of like levelling of what voice is talking about work and how we sort of think about research as well. So I'm going to show a clip from Haran Faruqi's film Workers Leaving the Factory Now, which charts a history of workers appearing in films since the late 19th century. It begins with a film, sort of the first recorded piece of film ever made, which was taken at the Lumiere factory in Lyon. And I'm just going to share about 7 to 10 minutes of this clip. But I think it sort of hopefully brings to life a little bit this sort of tracks or chart that I've been suggesting. And originally this film is shown on separate monitors. So it's Workers Leaving the Factory in 11 decades, so there'll be 11 monitors with 11 separate films from the different eras. But obviously I'm just going to show this short clip. And the way that Harim sent it to me, it has a sort of narrative as well over the top, which is kind of nice. I'm just going to stop that there. It's a fairly long screening to watch the whole thing, but I think that kind of that last sort of that comment with the Metropolis film is really interesting in terms of thinking. How do we look at workers now? It's very much in contract to the image it depicts there, and to the rest of the film sort of goes on to look at worker struggle as well. So how, rather than workers leaving the factory, they come to occupy it and actually demand a different condition in which the factory is suggesting. And then sort of as the story continues, he follows scenes of unemployed workers as well. So faces at the factory gate trying desperately to get in. So there's this whole sort of narrative from the beginning of workers leaving to then occupying, to then this huge unemployed mass trying to actually get work and get a wage and trying to get into the factory gates. And I suppose maybe one thing that this slide here is suggesting is that if we were to continue the story, as it were, maybe the next image would be people here queuing up. This is at Tate Modern, a former factory, in which the factory no longer is producing, but people are queuing up to get inside for the goods that are sold that are as entertainment, emotion, effectiveness. And artist and writer Hito Sorrell discusses this in her text, Is the Museum a Factory? So the factory becomes a different site of production, one producing not material goods, but entertainment, attention and emotion. And I quote, the typical setup of the museum as factory looks like this. Before, an industrial workplace. Now, people spending their leisure time in front of TV monitors. Before, people working in these factories. Now, people working in home in front of computer monitors. And she goes on to point out that this speculative vision might even be the very same as the factory at which we see at the beginning of the film, so the Lumiere factory, is now a museum of cinema. So it's come that full circle that the film is sort of suggesting at the starting point. And so this is, of course, sort of brings us to Tetley in a way. A factory, a brewery, whose own history was once one of the largest breweries in the UK, then sort of taken over by Carlsberg in 98, and then this building being decommissioned around 2010, I think. So the narrative of labour history is reflected in this very site and, of course, in this event tonight. So now, I suppose, myself as a worker and people sort of coming here, it reflects this changing nature of what we expect from work and how we're conducting work ourselves. And this image, the top one, is from a research project. Well, it's a research stage of a project that artist Rahana Zaman is working on at the moment and will be presented here in the autumn. And she's very much investigating the labour histories of the Tetley through her project. And then the image below is from an artist called Marianne Floetrum, and this is a film called Work. And I thought what was interesting is kind of the top image, you see the workers taking a pint. So in the, probably many of you know, but in this ground here there was like a pub that was for the workers as well. So after work, before work, people would be sort of socialising and having a drink. And then below, the woman is working for an international insurance organisation, and Marianne went in and did some workshops with people working there and produced this film. And I suppose for them, rather than having a pub, they have a gym downstairs and a bed. So like if they're working really long hours, they can actually just even stay in the office. And I thought what was interesting in this distinction is the way in which on the top there's a kind of socialness that's like collective. People are kind of involved, even though they're still at work, but their social time is also together. Where in the image below, it's very much about individuals. So she would go off to the gym and work on the individual sort of care of her own body, and then sleep there if she needed to. And maybe this image as well just sums that up a little bit. These are some prints from a 17th century engraver called Nicolas Bassamin. And I think they're amazing in terms of as well thinking about how we're very much identified by our job roles and working roles now. So whenever you kind of meet someone, the first question is like, well, what do you do? So these images, I think, are really brilliant in kind of capturing that kind of, you know, you're absolutely, your body is totally rendered by the work that you do. The left, the blacksmith, the right, the fisherman. It would be kind of interesting, Sophie and I have been talking about constructing a series of images that would almost sort of represent the contemporary worker, which obviously, flexible as we are, for me would involve a lot of different tools and workplaces. So I'll go back to the project a little bit. When at the end kind of this very kind of discursive sort of engagement, we produce what we call the Manual Labour's Manual. So this is a publication that gathers conversations interviews, images, and brings it together in a publication that can be distributed. And I suppose this has sort of two aims in one way. In one way, by going through the material, Sophie and I are allowed to see some of the crossovers and the areas in which questions or people who we're talking to feel really share a kind of common concern around. And then the publication then itself performs a sort of working document that then we can sort of deepen in investigations into these questions that people are raising. So this manual was formed around three chapters. The first was time and temporality. So people were very concerned about this idea of like there's no distinction between work and non-work, and this is to do with this lack of just understanding of sort of the 12-hour clock in some ways, or how we relate to the clock in that way. The second chapter was around physicality, so the body and the environment, so literally how people engage with their work environment. We did a series of exercises where office workers would map the way they engage with their open office. And so for many, they were kind of like, I literally walk within, like, you know, a 4-meter kind of, like, radius. And I never, ever go to any other part of the building, even though the colleague that they need to speak to all the time is only about 50 yards away. But this kind of, as well, this sort of the way in which they'd come to sort of learn to engage with their work environment and how that was affecting their body. Again, these kind of like contortionist poses. And then the third chapter was around bad management. So that was looking very much at how, in many places, even in the sort of formal workplaces, where the working conditions are very much sort of being eroded in terms of the support people get, the management support, the kind of way in which if there was a problem, there would be a way that it would be linked to a whole sort of collective of other workers, whereas now often people talked about how you would be singled out and identified if there was sort of an error that was performed, you'd performed at work. So this idea that you become very much your own investor in your own labour, and you can't rely on sort of the larger work environment to support you. And this kind of led to a lot of sort of bad management. So people had the propensity to very much self-exploit. So work longer hours, work until the job got done rather than to when they were paid to finish work. This is something that I feel is, it was common across all kind of different sectors that we were speaking to. And so that formed, so these kind of chapters that we've sort of brought together within this publication then formed the starting point for a series of like deeper investigations. And we held a series of reading groups in different work sites, which attempted to sort of bring to life some of the theoretical discussion around these concerns. So this took place in an artist's studio. So this was very much thinking about time and temporality and sort of the way in which an artist would have to have a full-time job, but then would go to the studio on evenings and weekends. And why is that time not considered as work in the way that this particular artist was working? Another example would be we worked with the University College Hospital in Euston, and we held a reading group at the cancer care unit there. And that was very much thinking about emotional labour, as I sort of talked about before. So thinking about the workers who were working in the cancer care unit and at the amount of very sort of intimate and engaged emotional labour that they were putting to work in that situation. And then this final one took place, that was around bad management, and that took place at HSBC's boardroom at the headquarters in Canary Wharf. And that was thinking as well about the performance of work, how you're always expected to perform in a very kind of like exploitative way to yourself in some ways. And I suppose that leads me to sort of where we're working around now, which is we've focused on complaints team in a local London borough, and we've been working with them for the past 2 months. And for us, the complaints team is really interesting sort of section of workers, because whilst it's located at the moment within just the London borough, we're going to be working with the complaints team at the hospital, and it's a sort of section of management, or a section of contemporary work that exists across different sectors as well. And of course, it totally employs, it's very sedentary, it's very sat at your desk, it employs you listening on the phone with a sympathetic ear, so it's very much kind of like the sort of pinnacle in a way of emotional labour, or labour that we would consider doesn't have such a relationship to the body. So we're working on those workshops at the moment, and they're going to result in a series of different visual manifestations and textual refractions in 2015. So just to finish, I'm going to show the film The Trainee by Bill Vitacola. I'm not actually going to say too much about this film, because it's definitely a film that you need to watch first without knowing too much. But basically, all you need to know is she's working in the accounting firm of Deloitte. And then after that, I think Charlotte, Joanna, and I are going to have some questions.